Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. It's the usual, me and Kyle today.
That's right.
Sorry, we got no guests, but we are always open. So if you are out there and you want to come on, we are always looking for more people and more voices to come share on the podcast. But today it's just me and Kyle.
And I have bubbles here. So if you come on, then I'll share some bubbles with. And I actually got some new ones. My kids got some at Halloween. So I'm like, ooh, I got a supply again.
All right. So Kyle will celebrate our new listeners and new voices a shower of bubbles. All right. Well, this past Sunday, we had a special guest share a little bit, and we had Pastor Peter come on, and he shared a little bit about some of the things that God's been highlighting to him recently, including his trip to Germany and just some of the other ways that the Lord has been helping him to see who he really is and kind of step deeper into his true identity. And, you know, that's one of the things that's been at the heart of our church, is helping people to understand who God created them to be. And one of the things that he kind of talked about that really stood out to me and was memorable is he said that in his journey, it seems like the Lord has been highlighting that he's restoring the image of God that was already placed in him from birth. And that's what the Lord has been taking him through, is recognizing the areas that have been damaged or harmed or, beaten up due to sin, not just his own, but things that have been done to him as well, and how the Lord has been trying to restore his image in Peter. So I thought we could start there. Kyle said he has a little bit more background information that he'd like to share too, and so I thought we could, kick it off with what Pastor Peter said.
Well, we Zoom with him generally once a month, so we hear some of the stories. So I know more of the background of his recent travels to Germany and that whole process. But I think it's really cool that the way the Lord is kind of just kind of cleaning up old messes that were there. I'd say it that way. Like, there's things from his childhood, his upbringing, I think specifically before he met Christ, but just things that Peter knew about and had kind of had dealt with on a certain level, but yet there were still wounds and there were still impacts because of not dealing with it completely that were then affecting him from, becoming who really God designed him to be, and that image of God that was really is already implanted in him. So I got to hear a little bit more of the background of the Germany story and how painful it was for him and how much he did not want to go. But yet I told him just on Sunday when I saw him, I said, hey, another journey in your another part of your journey of obedience. And really it's what it is. And it's funny, like, we can joke with Peter a little bit where he kind of like, well, I'll say it this way, that he'll throw a tantrum, right? Like, God, I don't want to do this. Like, no, and because we all kind of do that in different ways. But I love how he shares openly about, I did not want to do this, or even while he's in the middle of a decision, like, I don't want to do this. I don't see why. And either it doesn't make sense, or I just don't want to do this. But yet he continues to bring those things before the Lord and say, okay, but I'll submit. If you want me to, I'll do it. And sometimes it's begrudgingly, but when he does, it's like, oh my gosh, another act of obedience and like what came out from it. So going to Germany was definitely a struggle. And then being there it triggered a lot of things inside him. And I think that's what was an indicator of, oh, there's still a lot of wounding, a lot of stuff from when he lived in Germany. I think he grew up there till late teens, early 20s or something like that, I think, before he moved out. So he did deal with it some in, I think, June or July, and kind of felt like, okay, I dealt with it. I'm good. Oh, no, actually, no, that was before they went to Germany. He actually went to Hawaii, I think, the December before, and then that's when they kind of brought up the idea of Germany. But then when he went there, it was like, oh, shoot, there's more things that are like stirring and that were deep inside. So it was a long 5-6 months between when that got stirred and then when he finally actually dealt with it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of times for a lot of us where we might have a sense from the Lord, or maybe it's a sense from like Pastor Barry's nudging or someone else is nudging, that there are things that we need to deal with or we need to do. And unlike Pastor Peter, we're like, I know I probably should do this, but I'm not going to do it, right? So I think for Pastor Peter to model what it looks like to obey even when you don't want to, I think that's helpful for us too, to see kind of in hindsight, like, oh, when he obeyed, this happened, right? So it gives us a little bit more courage to step into some of those things ourselves. I do think it's really interesting, because the sense that I got from hearing him on Sunday was not that Germany was a difficult thing. So
true, because he gave the abbreviated version that we've heard from other sources that were there as well, that it was very challenging. Yeah, no, when I've talked to him about it too, like he said, yeah, it was miserable. He was doing it not because he wanted to be there, but he was doing it for Hannah. So that was the main thing. Like, I got to just endure this because I'm doing it for her. And he didn't even realize that part of it was for him to like go back and deal with some of his own stuff. So I think that's the part that kind of caught him off guard as well and made it, probably he might have not wanted to do it if he knew that ahead of time.
But I think that's interesting too, how for him, the way that he was able to share it, like, I didn't really get any sense that it was difficult for him when he was over there. So it's interesting how even when he's able to look at it in hindsight, that doesn't come out, because I think the way that the Lord kind of walked him through, the end result was so much more impactful and so much kind of a, I guess more of a core type memory type thing versus the actual experience of it. So it kind of changed his, for lack of better words, experience of the whole trip because of what he saw as the outcome of it. And and so I think that's interesting for us as we enter some of these things. It's like, oh, it might be difficult. The journey might be difficult, but when we look back on it, we're not going to look at it in that light. We're going to look at it through, you know, what the Lord did in spite of that.
Yeah, and I don't have the insight on what happened last week when he was in Hawaii, because I haven't talked to him. And I talked to him at church, and he goes, yeah, our next Zoom, I'll give you guys all the details of what transpired. But this is an assumption, but I'm assuming that because of what happened in that like prayer ministry setting in Hawaii, that things got closed up, cleaned up. And now looking back, it doesn't have the same negative emotions. It actually, it has like a healed version of it. So I can totally see that that's probably what happened, but I'll get some more details on that. But I think that's just, I was going to connect that with like prayer ministry. We see that in prayer ministry things too. Like when you heal the wounds in your soul, which in like your deep memories or past experiences and traumas, when the Lord can get you to deal with those and he can bring healing to them, you can actually look back on the same situation with actually like positive emotions or like a positive feeling. Whereas before, when you would go to that place, it would stir up like very negative emotions and reactions and fear, anxiety, whatever. And so that's because our souls carry that trauma. And so when we were able to deal with those through the Lord and his restoration, then it's weird how we can look, that was actually a good season in my life. And you're like, wait a second. Like I've never looked at it like that. Like, how can I have that different view? But it's because you're seeing it from a healed perspective instead of a wounded perspective.
Yeah. And I just always remember being in the room when Hannah said, I would never change anything that happened in my life. And I was like, oh my gosh, how can she say that with the abuses that she went through? And how could she even say that? But as you're talking about what it looks like to view things through a healed soul, like, it's like, oh, okay, that's where the Lord wants to take all of us, to a place where we're able to look back on our life and say, wow, I'm viewing it very differently than I did in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know on Sunday they couldn't share a whole lot. Pastor Barry went in a little bit more detail after Peter shared, but yeah, Hannah was born in Germany and then was trafficked. Her parents actually sold her into trafficking, and just the horrific thing. She shared, the last couple of times she's been, she shared more open about different experiences, and I know it's only just a sliver of it, but it is, it's devastating in some ways. And then, like you were just saying, like how she could say, I wouldn't change anything because of the way the Lord's restored mm-hmm. her, that she can have like a, just a, I don't say a positive outlook, but she can see things like, well, the Lord redeemed all of this, so mm-hmm. it doesn't even matter anymore. I don't want to change it. So, yeah, just when they come back and they're interacting with our church, I just encourage people, if they haven't interacted with Hannah, take a moment, just talk to her and ask her some questions. She's a joy to be around, but it's really convicting and eye-opening when you get to hear from somebody who actually went through such trauma mm-hmm. that you don't just think, oh, that's just a news story or that's somebody distant. Like when you actually see somebody that has done it, it for me at least, it made it a lot more real.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the interesting parts about the Germany trip is that they went to specific locations that were impactful, mm-hmm. and she kind of had to face those specific locations yeah. that things happened. And so how many times are we kind of too afraid to address things mm-hmm. in that space mm-hmm. because we don't want to go there, but then we can't receive the healing because we're not mm-hmm. willing to go there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just the courage she had, because she knew, or she felt like the conviction from the Lord that she needed to go back to face certain things to bring full like closure and healing and restoration. Yeah, and knowing that she had to go back to these places, she didn't even remember necessarily where they were. And that's where it was really cool that the Lord used Peter. Like mm-hmm. he gave, like kind of Peter mentioned on Sunday, gave him, you're supposed to go to this city, this part of this city, and this. And then once they would get there, all of a sudden her memories would be like, oh yeah, I was trafficked in that church, or I was trafficked in that building, and this and that. And then, like, yeah, the Lord used Peter in that awesome way to kind of help unlock things for Hannah. But yeah, just the I would say the courage, but also the determination mm-hmm. that Hannah had that, I want to be whole. I don't want to be mostly whole or mm-hmm. mostly healed, but the other parts, it's just too hard to get there. I obviously you have to go through certain steps because some things that just take a process of time, but she wasn't willing to just say, no, I've got enough. I've come a long ways and I'm good enough. And so I think that's a reminder for all of us. There's generally always more things that we can clean up and go to, but the more we clean off the easy ones, then we start getting to the higher fruit that takes a ladder, takes a little more effort. There's a risk of, oh, the ladder's a little unstable or whatever. I mean, it becomes a little bit bigger of a hurdle to overcome.
Okay, so I'm curious from your perspective, since, you know, you are on a few of the different types of prayer ministry that our church offers, right? Because yeah. you mm-hmm. do PMT, you do mm-hmm. deliverance, right? And mm-hmm. so how do you know as a prayee, mm-hmm. how do you know when you're like cleaned up? Like, how do you know? So it's not just like, I'm constantly seeking more, yeah. more, more, more. Like, how are you going to know when you don't need to go anymore? Or,
you know what? That's a good question. I think, yeah, we don't want to get in that cycle of this, like, oh, I just constantly need more and more. I think that one of the indicators is the triggers. Mm-hmm. And if you've gotten to a place and you've dealt with certain things, and then it's part of it is walking it out after. So we, in the prayer session, we can have awesome intimate times with the Lord, and he can bring healing to a part or a memory or that kind of thing. But if we then let that thing come back in and take hold, then it kind of can cancel out what was done. So you kind of have to walk it out in faith then. I think Brett kind of shared that about his journey mm-hmm. recently, about his own like physical, emotional healing, But it's a choice then. So to kind of get back to your question, I think it's if the situations, the events, the people that used to trigger you aren't anymore, it's like, oh, that's an indicator that that part's cleaned up. Mm. But then it's just kind of being aware of, okay, why am I being triggered by this or that? Like, what is it? And then it's just being self-aware of, oh, there's probably something underneath. And so then you go back in for, oh, I need another session. There's such and such happened. And in the sessions, it's really, we want to be spirit led. So the spirit knows what's causing that. So you might have your own idea like, oh, it's this person. Well, really, it's not that person. It's this situation that happened to you 20 years ago that person represents or things like that. So it was cool at church Sunday. Somebody came up to me and they're like, it's time. I want to have a prayer session. So they reached out to me and I'm like, oh, yeah, like I'll help you get it set up with Jody. And then I just asked a little bit why. And then the person was saying, hey, just something happened at home just this last week and it triggered something. And I'm like, why did I respond that way? That is weird. Like there's something else there. Like I don't want that. Like I want to clean that up. And so that's the kind of awareness of, oh, there's something under the surface and I want the Lord to help me like get that dealt with.
Okay. So as you're talking, other questions came to mind. It's right. Like, oh, I should bombard you with questions. Cause I think this actually would be helpful for people too.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Pastor Peter had mentioned that he had to deal with was the kind of the multiple Peters.
Yeah.
Right. And so speaking with Dean helped him to recognize like there's multiple areas that have been hurt, and how he's been able to cope with it is that he's kind of compartmentalized it or things like that. Right. And so that could be how he was kind of referring to multiple Peters. Right. So he's compartmentalized certain things into certain areas of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in our journey of healing, how do we know, like you just said, you know, we might know that we're healed when those triggers aren't triggers in the same way that they were before. But how do we know potentially if some of those triggers have just been compartmentalized into a certain area that they're still there, it hasn't been healed, but it's just we're not operating out of that compartment in that.
Yeah, I think it'll still kind of rear its face in some ways. We've had it in sessions where, so this multiple... It's not multiple personalities. It's just like kind of different parts of your soul that are kind of connected with different eras of your life. So like your younger self, when your earliest memories, more like an adolescent self, like your adult self. Like if there's something from your younger self, like even your teenage or your adult self would be like, oh yeah, I'm good with that. I dealt with it. And especially on a rational level, oh yeah, I've already dealt with it. I've forgiven. I've done this and that. But the younger voice inside you is like, yeah, but I wasn't heard when that happened. Mm-hmm. I was abandoned. So there's still, you can see like it can be hard because you felt like I've dealt with it, but yet that still kind of triggers certain things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of trying to get all of your whole heart synchronized basically instead of segmented, like you were talking about different compartments. So it can sound a little hokey or I guess a little bit new agey. So you have to be careful of how we're describing it, but it's not like there are some people have multiple personalities, but this is more of like your memories are in different time frames, so to speak. And those different time frames have different ways of coping and dealing with it. And if you don't go back to the actual memory, so this might be helpful too. In prayer sessions, a lot of times we ask the prayee to go to the earliest memory that they had of that type of situation. Because when you go to the earliest, that helps then clear up things afterwards, which kind of would make sense, right? If you go to when something happened when you were 5 years old and you kind of get that wound healed, then your kind of teenage way of seeing it would also shift and be like, oh, if that's how it was, then I see it differently as well. Whereas if you go to it from the teenage side, would see it a certain way, but it hasn't got to the root, then it's like, oh, so we always try to go back to the earliest. And then it actually, by default, a lot of times it just cleans up stuff without even having to do anything else.
I'm laughing a little bit because when you're talking about it, I just think of Back to the Future 2.
Oh.
When they're in the future and it gets changed, right? And then he's like, oh, we got to go back to 1985. And the doc's like, if you go back to 1985, that's going to be the new 1985. We got to go back before that when the timeline got changed. Mm. It's like, oh, okay, that's what you're talking about.
I mean, I want to hear your perspective too, but then I do want to tie in a little bit with the Switch On Your Brain book because this aligns with actually science. It's not just like, oh, this sounds kind of hokey, whatever. It's like she, in the book, she talks a lot about, yeah, those memories are stored in our subconscious. So those, even the hurtful ones, the wounded ones, they're there and they're still, I say, alive, so to speak. Like they're still stirring inside us, but we don't think about them. They're kind of just there, but that's why they can trigger certain things, or certain things trigger those things to come out in our emotions and our reactions. But she, in the book, talks about when you can bring those to your conscious level and deal with them in a healthy way, then when they kind of go back into the subconscious, they're healed and then they don't have the same hold on you. So it's very, like what we do in the prayer sessions, it aligns with the science behind how the brain and the memories and those kind of things work.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that stood out to me when I was reading the book, is that we do some of these things already as a church. Mm-hmm. And so it just made it so that, wow, the science is actually backing up what we're doing. So it's not like they're two totally different things. You know, a lot of times people think of, you know, my faith and science are two opposite ends of the spectrum. It's like I either have faith or I believe in science. But it's cool the way that she's able to help us to understand that the science actually backs up our faith, especially in this one area regarding our mind.
Yep.
And, you know, I think one of the things that has been kind of more at the forefront for me personally is recognizing the ways that the Lord wants to give us the mind of Christ. Mm. And so what does that actually look like, and how do we achieve that? Because I think there's a lot of things that and a lot of ways that the world tries to point us in the other direction. And so how do we realign, and kind of what Pastor Peter said, restore the image of God that's already in us. And it's interesting how many different stories have come out in the past week of just what it looks like to kind of walk in the ways of the world. Right. And even things like, you know, okay, I'll give you an example. So last week I went to Disneyland.
Oh yeah. How was that, by the way? I haven't had a chance to ask you.
It was really fun. It was fun. It was a good experience. But so I was walking.
Okay. So it wasn't just a normal Disney day for Damon. If you want more details, you can ask him in person.
Okay. Yes. It wasn't a normal Disney day. But one of the things that happened was we were kind of getting ready to leave. We watched World of Color. The park was closing. So we're walking out, and I don't know why, I just like look on the ground and there's a $50 bill on the ground. Right. And so I pick it up and I'm like, okay, there's thousands of people here. There's no way for me to, you know, who dropped the 50? Everybody is going to be saying that it's theirs. Right. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to receive this as the Lord wanted to bless me today. Right. But how many times are we in that situation where someone wants to bless us or we are get a blessing and we're like, oh, I don't deserve this, or why I didn't earn this, or, you know, and it's like we're not able to receive the blessing as a blessing, right? And so, you know, I think especially kind of as an Asian culture, that's abnormal for us to be able to receive blessings as blessings, right? It's like the, you know, stereotypical fight over the bill, right? And it's like, oh, well, how come you can't receive that, right? And so
you have to earn it.
Yeah, you have to earn it, or you have to be the one to prove that, you know, it's kind of a flex if I'm the one that's paying the bill or whatever. But what if the Lord just wants to bless us, right? And so are we able to just receive it as a blessing? And so, you know, I think that that's one of the areas that the way that the world has shaped us and culture has shaped us is that it's hard for us to receive blessings. So how do we receive from the Lord when he wants to bless us if we always feel like we have to earn it or we have to do something for it? We're not. And so then are we able to really live as children of God in the way that he designed us if we're not even able to receive the blessings that he wants to give us? Right. And so I think that's one of the areas that the Lord wants to redeem and reshape and restore so that we, as children of God, are able to receive the blessings that he has for us and receive them as blessings and not just something like, oh, this is what God owes me because I did this, or this is what I should get because I sacrifice this. And, you know, but really just being able to receive it as, oh, I'm God's child. He just wanted to bless me today.
Mm. Yeah. And as you brought that up, it just makes me think of having a posture of expecting blessings. Mm. And I don't operate that way usually. So it's like, it's a stretch, or it stretches me to be like, yeah, but should I be just looking for blessings? And not that you don't do anything, but it's just like, but should my antennas be up and look for blessings and not make everything into a blessing, but also like not ignore like, oh, was that the Lord's blessing? Oh, thank you, Lord. Like that $50 bill, like, oh, like, you can feel guilty about it. Or, okay, what am I supposed to do with it now? Or feel bad for something. I mean, it's somebody else lost it. But then it's like you could also look at it like, okay, well, thank you, Lord. I'll take it and I'll honor you with it. But it's an honor, like not that you have to give it away necessarily either, but honor like that your heart is like thankful and then appreciation. And I think some people are wired a little bit more that way. And for some of us, it's like, oh, I need to be a little bit more like intentional about seeing life that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that we talk about regularly is that, you know, we are children of God, right? Mm-hmm. So if God is our father, you know, there's verses where he talks about, you know, if you ask for a fish, will I give you a serpent, or, you know, things like that. It's like, we should expect as children of God that our father wants to bless us the way that, you know, as dads, we want to bless our kids too. But yeah, sometimes for me as a dad, that's one of the hardest things is when you try to bless your kid and they're like, well, why didn't I get this? Or what, you know, and it's like not received as a blessing. It's like, oh, I was trying to bless you with this. Why are we kind of arguing about it, you know?
Or it's not fair. Like, why didn't they got more? No, I'll just throw that out to our listeners. Like, can in Damon's scenario, how would you respond if that happened to you? Like, what would be your normal response or your heart posture or your how would you be in that situation? And does that match the way the Lord wants you to operate? And so, like, I share for myself, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know if I would have gone to that place, maybe, but I think a lot of times it would. I don't know if I would see it as blessing. So. It's a good reminder and a good challenge for me.
Well, how about we throw it up a notch? Because I think, I think my scenario is a little, I don't know, easy. I think it's easier to receive that because it was kind of anonymous.
Sure.
So what if you were in the situation where you went to a restaurant and you had this very extravagant meal and when you go to pay, someone said, or the server says, no, it's already been taken care of. Mm. And it's been taken care of by someone you don't even know. Like, how would you feel in that situation? Would you be able to receive that? Or, I mean, I think that's a little bit different too, because you know that someone specifically went out of their way to give this to you or to, you know, versus just like, oh, it's someone dropped it. And
okay, just an honest response. I think on some level, yes, but my other part of me would be like, I want to know who did it. I want to figure it out. Like, but once I would let that part go, I think, I would be able to. But there's a part of me that would just want to. Okay, so I got a funny story. Mimo and I were, I would say newly married, but I don't know, 5 years in or something. And we were at a restaurant here in Lakewood by the mall. And we sat down and then we saw my parents across the restaurant. Like, they were eating, and they didn't see us come in. And so then I go, let's go talk to their waiter or waitress and say we're gonna pick up their tab, and then we're gonna like give them dessert and everything, and just tell them it's from I forget how we said it, but so we could see them from where we were sitting, but they couldn't see us. And so we did it, and then we saw the waitress go over there, and they were like looking around like, okay, who did this? And so they were like puzzled, right? And so then they brought him dessert too. And then it was just bugging him. And we were just biting our tongue. So next time we had like a family function, like a week or two later, we didn't want to bring it up or anything. And then it came up and then they were just like, yeah, we think it was our friends, like this and that. And so we're just kind of biting our tongues. And then we didn't say anything, but we revealed it at Christmas. We gave them like a card and said it was us or whatever. But it was fun because they were able to receive it, but they got stuck in that mode of, okay, but who did it? So they were appreciative, but it was like, yeah, but why or who? And yeah, so that's probably more of my natural bent to go to that realm. So it definitely steals from some of the joy mm-hmm. of just receiving.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that was highlighted to me out of Pastor Peter sharing was just the way that the Lord wants to restore his image, the image that he placed in us, and how, you know, sometimes we're the ones that get in the way of that restoration because we're not willing to take some of the steps to do it.
And just seeing it as it's a gift, like he just wants to give it to us. And we get into the why or what do I have to do? I'm not good enough. And we can go all those different realms. And then it's like, yeah, but you're just taken away from the gift now. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that was a long way. I don't think we were going to talk that long about that.
I didn't think we were either.
That was good. And then, Pastor Barry had an abbreviated sermon because of his sharing.
I was just going to say, Pastor Peter talked. So, you know, when he went up, the first thing that someone said to me was like, oh, let's see how long he goes. It's going to be a long service again. But Pastor Barry, yeah, continued our series on 1 John.
So I want to give Pastor Barry props too, because he met with Peter on Friday. I wasn't able to make it. And so, but because of what Peter shared, it's like, oh, our people need to hear this. So I really appreciate Barry's heart for our people. When there's things like that, testimonies that he thinks will be impactful, mm-hmm. He put all that work into his message, but knowing that element was going to get added, that he'd have to adjust. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he had a bunch of stuff that he put work into that he didn't even get to share with us, but it's because his heart was like, no, but this is more important. Like he's humbled himself to be like, no, what Peter has to share, he's only here today. This needs to be shared. And so I'll submit, you know, my time allotment because of that. And so I wanted to hear all the other stuff he shared because there were pretty cool verses that he skipped over. I still think he did a really good job of what he shared, but I'm like, oh man, there's a lot still there.
Yep. I mean, so I think that's some of the things that we were going to talk about to continue this episode is just some of the passages that Pastor Barry skipped over. But I kind of did want to ask you about the video that Pastor Barry showed with the nail in the head. I thought that was pretty funny, but I do feel like it's very relevant to kind of what we just talked about. And then also, you know, just how we go about life sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So and Mimo was in the children's side. So she watched it the next day and then she said something, she said a comment about it. I'm like, oh yeah. And then the nail video, I want to show that to the kids. And I think it's funny. And then she goes, I think we've seen that at church before. Or somebody shared that before. Or no, she didn't say at church. She's like, I think somebody shared that before. And when I went and looked online, it's like 13 years old. It's like an old video. So I'm like, yeah, maybe. But I'm like, I don't remember
seeing that at church before.
So somewhere, she saw it somewhere. But
so in the video, if you haven't watched it yet, there's a person who has...
It's a couple,
and the female is complaining about some pain and...
Head pain symptoms,
like anxiety and certain things and pressure in her head.
Yeah.
And, you know, some things that a lot of us probably share or complain about.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out she has a nail in her head.
So, yeah, in the video, you see it.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, okay, we'll go start.
Yeah, and so the male in the video says like, oh, I think you have a nail in your head. And she's like, no, it's not the nail. It's this and this and this and this and this and the pressure and these situations that are going on. And he's like, no, I think it's... And she's like, no, can you quit it with the nail? And
no, stop trying to fix it.
Yeah, you're not hearing me. Stop trying to fix it. And things like that. And he's like, I think it would be solved if you just took the nail out. And she's like, it's not about that, right? And so how many times are we
recognizing? Okay, and then they go to hug. And then when he goes to hug her, he hits the nail with his forehead. Ouch! That was a funny ending. Sorry, yeah, but how many times?
Yeah, how many times do we kind of miss what the actual issue is because we're kind of looking in a different direction or looking at something else?
We're focused on the symptoms and not the issue. Yeah. Yes. it totally ties in with what we were just talking about. And I think to me, it's the symptoms or the triggers or those kind of, they're indicators of there's a root cause or there's a root issue. And when we can just be focused on the symptoms, then it's hard because it's kind of like what Western medicine ends up going towards. Mm-hmm. There's symptoms and we'll give you a medication to deal with the symptom. And okay, yeah, it brings relief. So like I've dealt with back and neck issues like for a long time, a big part of my life. And I went through a big season. Well, I'd go with a chiropractor and do different things. But a big part is I just then relied on pain medicine. Mm-hmm. So I take an Advil, take Tylenol. It's like, oh, I'm going to go play golf. It's going to be really sore. I'm like, okay, I'll just do that. Oh, I'll make it through. And then like later it wears off. Oh man, I'm sore today. But it got me through and it dealt with my symptoms. But really I needed more strengthening. I needed to adjust like the way I was taking care of my body. And so it led me down to be in worse shape, whereas if I would have dealt with that kind of the root cause instead of just managing the symptoms, then yeah. And I think we do that a lot in our spiritual, emotional, mental life, that we're trying to just manage symptoms and get things to disappear because we don't want to deal with them. But really then we're just stuffing it and it's going to come out. And a lot of times when they're stuffed, they grow and they multiply and they ferment and come out in a much harder way.
I mean, that kind of reminds me of when you had your shoulder issue.
My shoulder issue.
It was last year or the year before, and you had a shoulder issue, and then you went to I think it was the PT, and they said, oh, just do this one little exercise.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
And then it kind of went away, and it was just like the simple little exercise.
Yeah, yeah. So I was getting like a pinch in my rotator cuff or something, and I thought, oh man, I'm going to have rotator cuff surgery or whatever. It was like, it was hard. Like, if it happened from coaching baseball and throwing but what it came down to is there was like a tiny small muscle that helps control your shoulder blade and keep it in position. Mm-hmm. And that tiny muscle was really weak. And so my shoulder blade was tilting. And so then when I would lift my arm up, it would pinch my rotator cuff. And so then during the exam part, he physically held my shoulder blade in position. He said, now lift. And I'm like, oh yeah, it doesn't hurt. And then he let go. And I'm like, oh yeah, now it hurts. So he's like, yeah, there's this small muscle down there. So I had to do these silly, put my arms at 45 or 90 degrees and against the wall and just lift straight up while like kind of pinching my shoulder blade down. And it was super tiring by doing like 10 of those. And then after I did them for a while, it was like, oh my gosh, it's my shoulder blade staying in position now. I totally forgot about that. So I'm like, what are you talking about, shoulder issue?
Well, when you were talking, it just reminded me, I think sometimes when we look at symptoms or things like, we don't want to address it because we think it's going to be it's going to be surgery or it's going to be this. So I can deal with the pain or I can deal with this. And then
it's the worst case outcome.
Yeah. But then when you actually got it diagnosed taken care of, it was like really just the simple little exercise that you do a couple times, you know, for a week or a couple weeks, and then it gets stronger.
Yeah,
it took
a little while, but I mean, I had noticeable results within a week or two. Yeah.
So,
so to me, that's like, because I went to an expert, right, that had knowledge and understanding. And it's like, okay, it's the same as going to the Lord. Like God knows, and he knows the roots. He knows what the symptoms are there because of. So the great physician, the great healer, but it's not just the physical, it's the emotional, the inside stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it's going to be the hardest thing, and I know we all play those mind games with ourselves.
But I think that's one of the cool things about the prayer ministries that we have, is that really it is the Lord doing the healing, but it's just going to people that are more experienced that can help facilitate that for us, right? Because we could do it ourselves, but a lot of us don't have the training or don't know how to do it or haven't experienced that before where we can go directly to the Lord on our own, when really we could. But for a lot of us, it's like there are certain blocks or there's certain things that get in the way that we really need help to walk through just from people that have done it before and that have more experience in that area that can help us to get to that place.
Yeah, totally. 100%. That's what a lot of the prayer ministry, the team, we're there just to try to help you get past the blocks and the barriers so that the Lord can direct you, because there's different hurdles to get past mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually, that we're there to try to, like, okay, I think this might be going on, and we break that and get that out of the way, and then it's like, oh, okay, now they can get to where they need to go with the Lord. All right, this is like turned into like the prayer ministry session, like episode.
I know. I was like, wait, we still haven't even gone into the passages yet. So okay, so we're continuing in 1 John, and the passages that we were supposed to go over on Sunday were our 1 John 4, starting in verse 7 through the end of the chapter, which is verse 21. And there's a lot of verses in here, kind of like Kyle was saying, that are probably pretty familiar to us. So Kyle, do you want to hit one of them?
Okay, so this just popped in my head. A lot of people probably don't remember this. I don't think you would probably know. Do you know Salty the
Salty? I do know Salty.
The Salter hymnal or whatever. Yes. Yeah.
It was a kid's like character.
VBS, like a VBS thing. Or that's where when I got introduced to it, it was through VBS.
So for those of you that are my age, it is like Barney, it's like Barney for Christians.
Yes.
So he had praise songs and things like that. But yeah, he was, and there was another one. There was a keyboard guy or something like that. I don't remember what his name was.
I don't remember either.
But yes, I do. I am old, Kyle. I'm not 50, but okay, I'm old.
You probably saw reruns of that then. So
I had it on VHS. Okay. My mom had it.
But there was a song that they did for 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Like, I'm not even going to try to sing it because I am not that confident. And but it was like, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from a God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves God is, I forget the rest of the lyrics. I'm trying to do it without reading the actual verse. But then it's...
that's pretty good that it's stuck in your head
totally stuck
40
in my head.
Plus years.
But with the tune. And so I'm like, oh yeah, so first... And then it's 1 John 4, 7, and 8. So like, I remember that verse because of that, right? Mm-hmm. Kids learn very with pneumatic tools and stuff like that. So yeah, that verse is always a popular verse in my head. Like, I can always find that one because of that song. But yeah, it's just a good reminder that when we are born of God and God takes over our heart and takes possession of our heart, then love just flows out. And that's like, we love each other because of that. So this, that whole first section, 7 through, I don't know, like 12 or so, it's kind of just describing, or this whole section really is describing about what living as, or God living through us and in us, and how that manifests itself through love.
Yeah, it's really a picture of what love should look like, right? And then Pastor Barry gave at the end of his message that the picture of Jesus, right? And that's really what love is. It's a sacrificial love. It's a choice. And it's very different than the way that the world loves, right? And so, yeah, I think that's where for a lot of people it gets kind of muddy, because the way that the world loves is very different than the way that God loves.
Mm. Yes.
And we're just kind of bombarded with the media, social media, just throughout, kind of arguments towards the world's version of love, right? It's like there's not grace and truth in the world's version of love. It's fully grace, right? And so... I think that's one of the things that we've been really kind of talking about a lot on the podcast and at church is, you know, God's love, the most loving thing for him is when grace and truth are walking in that tension, right? And the way that the world loves, it's very different than that, because it's kind of not acknowledging the truth. And so for us, those are some of the things that we want to make sure that we're continuously surrounding ourselves with, is both grace and truth, because that's really where love is.
Yeah, I think it. It's understanding that love doesn't have just one aspect. It's love isn't just grace, and even love isn't just truth. It's justice. It's piece. I mean, there's so many, you can bring all these different aspects into making love more fully understandable the way God is. And I'm trying to say that, but it's, I think those things are all also characteristics of God, but I think they get brought into kind of what love is. And the reason I bring that up is because the world has just a different view of love. And mm-hmm. when we use just the word love by itself, I think we have to be careful of understanding. Like, we went through that season of just clarifying definitions. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what do you mean by love? So I think when we're describing it from the biblical text, when we're doing that even with in a worldly setting, we have to be clear on what we're describing as love and making sure that it's not getting diluted by how the world says what love is. Because like in verse 16, it says God is love. And I know in the world sometimes, oh yeah, God is love, and then love is God, and then that's like, oh, but what do you mean by that, and mm-hmm. what are you trying to say through that? And so that's where, oh yeah, that sounds good. God is love. Love is God. But it's like, oh, then love becomes like a God to us, and then especially what's your definition of love? Then that becomes like what God is, and so.
Yeah, and I think.
Sorry, that was some rambling. Now you can clean it up for me.
Well, I think as we're talking, you know, one of the things that the world focuses on when it talks about love is feelings and feeling good, right? And so when things feel good, then that's love. When things don't feel good anymore, then that's not love anymore.
It's not loving, yeah.
And so that's where the truth side comes in too, because it's like, okay, so is it loving if my kid is about to run in the middle of the street and get hit by a car, if I don't tell him to stop, right? Like, oh, he wants to do that. Okay, let him do it. Like, that's not loving of me to let him continue to do that, right? And so there are aspects of truth involved that actually point us more to something that's loving than when we don't acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. And so I think, yeah, that's where our definition of love, when it comes from the Bible and from God, it's different than the way that the world portrays it. Because mm-hmm. the way that the world portrays it, it's very, well, if it doesn't feel good, then you shouldn't do it. Or, you know, you shouldn't let them, you should just let them do whatever they want type thing.
Yeah, like, I think the world views love, it has to have a positive outcome. Or positive in the sense of good
feelings
and enjoyable or something you want for yourself. And a lot of times we only want the easy stuff. We don't want the, like, oh, the discipline. That shows more of the maturity side of like, oh no, I actually want this because I see the long-term gain for me versus like the short term. I think that's another thing for the world. It's like the love is very short-sighted. Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to have a quick response or a quick outcome. Then it's loving. But if you can't see beyond that, then yeah, it's painful. It's hurtful. Like, that's mean. But well, no, actually that's loving because it has a lot, but it has a long-term, you're not going to see it for until the long-term.
Yeah. As you were sharing that, it reminded me, I think it was in, Tim Keller's book. I think the book is called The Gift of Marriage or The Meaning of Marriage. I think it's The Meaning of Marriage. And he talks about how couples that are unhappy, and he says a lot, the way the world kind of posits it is like, if you're unhappy, you should probably just get divorced and that will make you happier. But in his book, he talks about it for couples that are unhappy. A lot of times, like if you look at them, like if they stick it out 5 years later, they're happy. And so he said, sometimes you just need to give it time for things to work themselves out. And it doesn't mean that just because you're unhappy now doesn't mean you're going to be unhappy in the future.
Bible talks about that. Perseverance produces, you know, it goes on to, Paul talks about that.
Character,
so yeah.
Endurance.
Yeah. So, well, I thought the other, I don't know where we're at on time, but the other one verse we could bring up is verse 18. Because this verse was one that came up earlier this year when we went into the Awe of God series. Mm-hmm. And it says, there is no fear in love. So then it was like, well, the awe of God is kind of like, well, he wanted to call it the fear of God, right? The book, but it's like he changed it to the awe of God, but it's really this holy fear of God. So then why does this verse say there's no fear in love? So having like a fear of God then it's not compatible with love. So do you want to refresh us on where we ended with that in the Awe of God series?
Well, when we were talking about it in the Awe of God series, I mean, I think this verse talks about part of that too in the definition, right? It says fear has to do with punishment, mm-hmm. right? And so,
I didn't finish the verse. Why don't you read the whole verse? That's a good point, because I think some people just stop at that part. There's no fear in love.
Yeah, it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love, right? And so I think in this verse, right, in terms of punishment, I don't know if it's necessarily just talking about punishment. Mm-hmm. I think it's talking about just negative outcomes, mm-hmm. right? Like, so a lot of our fear is based on negative outcomes, or at least the anxiousness of what potentially could become a negative outcome, right? And so when we're talking about fear of the Lord, and we're talking about this type of fear, they're different, mm-hmm. right? And so I do like how he talked about it in terms of the awe of God, because mm-hmm. I think that does give us that picture. But I do feel like, you know, it's been written about in the Bible. Like, I keep coming to Isaiah when he experiences the Lord, right? He falls to his knees and he's like, I'm unworthy. I'm a man of unclean lips. Mm. Like, I shouldn't even be here. How can I be in the presence of such a holy God, mm-hmm. right? I do feel like just we haven't, okay, I'm not going to say we, because I do think there are people that have, but many people have not experienced that mm-hmm. personal encounter with the Lord mm-hmm. where just his presence just brings us to a correct realization of who we are, mm. right? And so it's not a fear of like fear in terms of, oh, I'm going to get punished. I'm going to get yeah. hurt. Something bad is going to happen to mm-hmm. me. But it's more like, wow, how big is God? How great is God? And how small am I? Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, if you have an ant and it sees a person, it's like, they might not necessarily think the person is going to step on them, but they might be like, oh, this person's way bigger than me, you know?
Yeah. I think what you're describing to me is like, it's that holy reverence, the holy mm-hmm. aspect of, oh, like that divine, perfect God creator. It's like, wow, there is a fear that comes with that of, wow, I'm not worthy to be in your presence, that kind of mm-hmm. that kind of sense. Yeah, I don't know if to say that verse has been like a life verse for me, but I dealt with fear as one of my main struggles growing up. And so that verse brought me a lot of peace, like, not that there's no fear in love, but really it's that perfect love drives out fear. And so really for me, it's always been, okay, I want to experience and live more from understanding God's perfect love, because I know the more I have that, it's basically squeezes out the type of fear that God doesn't want in my life and I don't want it in my life. So, I wanted to hear Pastor Barry's take, and like, even, you know, we talked about it in the spring through that book, but I want to hear another visit to that verse. So I'll have to ask him separately, or we should have tried to get him on. This would have been a good week to bring in extra stuff, but I know he's had a busy week this week.
You know, and I think one of the things kind of picture wise to think about it in terms of kind of framing what fear of the Lord could look like. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it does look like, mm-hmm. but it could look like. It's like, okay, so if you're David, right, and you're facing Goliath, mm. and you think that God is small, right, then Goliath is going to look super huge, mm. right? But in David's perspective, God is huge, right? So it's like, okay, the Lord is on my side. It's not going to be me taking on Goliath. It's me and the Lord taking on Goliath, right? And so his proper perspective of who the Lord is actually made this giant that made everybody else afraid, mm. him not afraid of him, mm. right? And so because he had the Lord in the proper perspective, he wasn't afraid of this giant that, you know, everybody else was trembling over. And here's this little shepherd mm. boy who, you know, was the smallest one. His dad didn't even want to acknowledge him and bring him in when Samuel was going to anoint one of his sons, mm-hmm. he didn't even want to show off David at all because he was the smallest and the youngest, right? But he had the Lord in the proper perspective, so that the thing that scared everybody else wasn't afraid of it.
Yeah, it's good. While you're describing that, I'm like, oh, okay, it's good the way he operated in that, because it was an assignment from the Lord, or mm-hmm. it was like a calling from the Lord. If it wouldn't have been, oh, he's fearless. It's like, oh no, he's stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Because if he went outside of what the Lord was asking him, then he was doing it out on his own, right? Mm-hmm. And then his own strength, his own understanding doesn't match. And it's like, okay, that's foolish. Could you still have a good outcome? Possibly, but there's a difference where, like mm-hmm. you said, he had confidence because that fear was taken away, because God told me, or God gave me this conviction to go do this and he'll be with me. Then that's a whole different type of approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want all of you to have the the correct view of who God is. And, I think for us, part of it's just being self-aware of how do we view the Lord, mm-hmm. right? And so if you are able to view him in a similar way to David, if that's not, maybe that's a time for you to, like we talked about at the beginning, to try to find out where the root of that is and see if you can address it. And if you can't address it on your own or with the Lord on your own, then maybe that's time to seek out a prayer ministry so that they can help facilitate that experience too.
And I mean, even another aspect of that is not just knowing who the Lord is, but how do you hear him, right? Because like David would have had to been pretty confident that, oh no, God wants me to go fight Goliath, right? But it shows that, like, like hearing God's voice class that Pastor Barry offers, it's important, because if we don't know with more certainty that, oh, that was the Lord's voice speaking to me, mm-hmm. it's hard to act on it. And in connection with that, sometimes those things we haven't dealt with keep us from that clear communication with the Lord, because there's other voices or there's other barriers or distractions that are then hindering his voice either coming through at all, or they're muddying the signal or even distorting it. So yeah, how that all is connected.
Yes. Amen. Preach.
Okay. So the only other verse I thought was, we could talk about, but if you have another one, that's good too. It was verse 19. We love because he first loved us. So I want to get your take on that. For me, also I'll give you a little time to think about it. For me, it's just a reminder that if we're not receiving God's love first, it's hard to go out and love, because it talks about, loving, the Bible talks about loving your enemies, being the first one to go out. Not reciprocating love is much easier, but if we have to go love when there's somebody that's even against us or that's causing us pain or hurt, that's a much harder place to be in. But I like how this verse is so short and sweet. We love because he first loved us. So when we recognize and value what Christ did for us on the cross, it's like, oh man, like what do I have to complain about this person, their attitude, or them not respecting me, or blah, 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 whatever it is. It's like, yeah, but look what the Lord did to me. Because he did that to me, now I can go put up with whatever. And not just to put up, but it's like more of that mentality of like, hey man, stop sulking and waiting for somebody else to like be the first one. Like, hey, we love now because we already received God's love.
Yeah, and I think that's where we're able to have Jesus say things like, love your enemies,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, how in the world are we able to love our enemies if we're trying to generate that from ourselves?
Yes.
Right? It's going to be impossible for us to do that. But
or short-lived, right?
Yeah, I mean, we might be able to treat them nicely, but I mean, love is a totally different mm-hmm. thing than just like
a different level.
Okay,
depth.
I'm going to kind of be amicable towards this person.
Put up with you.
Yeah. But when we are able to fully receive the Lord's love and recognize the ways that at one time we were enemies with him and he was still loving towards us, then, I mean, that totally helps us to be able to love other people and then show them that kind of love that actually points them back to the Lord, right? And so that can actually be a testimony to them of who the Lord is through the way that we're interacting and things like that. I mean, that reminds me of the movie The Forge, if you haven't seen it yet. It's a really good movie, but there's a scene in there where they're talking about forgiveness. And yeah, one of the ways that they portray, I don't want to ruin the movie. So one of the ways that they portray it is just a very real situation. And it, okay, it's a movie too, so it's fiction. So it's not, this is not a legit, but or it's legit, but it's not legit in the that it actually happened.
Right.
But it is a movie. So in the scene, they're talking about how kind of one of the main characters was able to forgive a situation. And it's like, how, if that was, if that happened to someone else, like how would they be able to do it? And he kind of walks through like, it's because of the Lord. Right. And so it's just very different. It's a way that people, it's difficult for people to understand how that kind of love actually works, but that's who God is. His love is difficult to understand, but when you're able to receive it, then we're able to give it.
I think for me, I just to share with the listeners, it's a journey too. So understanding and then operating from our new depth of understanding of God's love. It's an ongoing journey. So don't feel like I'm never gonna get there or that's too hard. Like just it's little by little, and those things kind of build on each other. So yeah. Don't be discouraged of like, oh, I can't get there, or it's just too hard. Just deal with the thing in front of you, and then as you deal with that, it'll unlock new things.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's been really good for us to go through 1 John, because it helps us to have a kind of a fuller picture of what love is and what it looks like to walk in both light and in love, right? So in grace and in truth, because really that's the picture of what love is. And I really liked it. I don't remember who it was. Oh, it's when we did Messy Grace. When we talked about Messy Grace, and he was talking about the picture of love is really Jesus on the cross, and he's holding tightly. That's why his arms are stretched out to grace and truth at the same time, right? And, you know, he could have died in many other ways, but to be crucified on the cross with his arms outreached like that, it's really Jesus holding firm to the truth that we need to be delivered from our sin because sin is not a good thing, right? And, but then at the same time, to be able to have the grace and hold on to grace that he's able to give to us too. So, and when we look at Jesus, that's our picture of love. And so, yeah, I think it's really appropriate that Pastor Barry closed off his message with the picture of Jesus.
Yeah, no, I agree. Maybe we'll try and get him on to share some of the other insights, because he did say, well, maybe I'll just share this stuff at a future message or something. But yeah, I'm curious to see what his thoughts are on those other passages or other verses.
All right. So if you want Pastor Barry to come on, you should bug him and say that it's time for him to come back on, because, yeah, it's been a while since Pastor Barry's been on. So it'd be good to hear from him on the podcast. Well, we are running up a little bit on time. So, Kyle, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, I like what you just said about remembering the whole 1 John series. It's good to think back like, oh yeah, this has been, you know, a month and a half ish, or be like 2 months by the time we get done with it, that yeah, it hopefully has been a stretch, a little bit of deepening our understanding of love and how that matches with truth. So, I'm excited for, well, this coming week we have Pastor Robert, but then we have our Thanksgiving service coming up too. And that's always a fun one. And yeah, I'm excited for how we'll do that one this coming year.
I don't know if we did this or not. It's been a long episode, actually. We were kind of heading in thinking, oh, this might be short. We don't know what we're going to talk about. But did you want to give a shout out?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I forgot.
I was like, did we do this already?
I know. I was like, we should have done that at the beginning. I did want to give a shout out to Christine Oyakawa. She sent a nice affirming email from our episode last week. So some things that she really appreciated. And so, Christine, thanks for your words of encouragement.
And thanks for listening, too.
Thanks for being a faithful listener. But yeah, your words of encouragement were, yeah, they were a blessing to me. And I talked to Damon about it this morning, to him as well. And yeah, just wanted to give a shout out to you. Thanks for that. And glad that we could be a blessing to you as well.
All right. That wraps up this episode. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you all. Just like we appreciate Christine, we appreciate all you listeners. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.